Hey, this is Jeremy Torsk, and welcome to Slight Edge Advantage, the show that really dives into what differentiates you. What is your slight edge advantage? What do you do just a little bit better than the competition? What do you do just a little bit better to get you over the hump that you're trying to beat? Trying to live your best life, you better have a slight edge advantage mentality. Let's hear about today's guest. Today's guest is Zach Ratner. He's the Chief Technology Officer and co-founder at Yumbo. He's a software engineer with over 15 years of experience, and he has a BS in computer engineering from Virginia Tech. Zach's projects include scaling a flashcard studying tool to over 3 million users and serving as the software lead for Qualcomm's internal innovation program, Qualcomm's Impact. He is in the top 2% of contributors on Stack Overflow and has 18 granted U.S. patents with several more pending. And he's the author of his first book titled Grow Up Fast, Lessons from an AI Startup. He has 3 children and lives in California with his wife, Lindsay. Please welcome to the show, Zach Ratner. So welcome to the show. And Zach, you know, you're very impressive. I've seen a lot of your digital footprint out there. I've talked to Tammy a few times through this thing. And I'm so impressed by the life you live, the things that you do to help people. And you just live in a space that very few people actually thrive in. So kudos to you, man. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you come from, and how you got here.
Sure. So my name's Zach. I run a startup called Yumbo. I am one of the two founders. I'm the chief technology officer, and I manage the engineering and product teams. And Yumbo takes cutting edge computer vision technology, and we bring it into industries that historically have been underserved by technology. So if you think about AI, and usually things like self-driving cars and drones come to mind, but what Yumbo focuses on is in the home services space. So if you're looking to get a quote to move, how many boxes is it going to take to pack up all these books you see behind me? If you're looking for property insurance quotes, these areas are very difficult to quote and estimate because it's very complicated. There's a lot of things you have to take into account. And we build computer vision technology to streamline and optimize those kinds of workflows. So wow. It's been kind of interesting to take this cutting edge technology and then go in a space where relatively few people felt like it was obvious. So that was about 7 years ago we were founded, and now we're live in about 20 different countries. And it's been quite a wild ride and learned a lot of things along the way. And
7 years is not a long time. Really? I mean, 7 years, it sounds like a long time. And in your lifetime, because you're younger on the spectrum of life, it's a large percentage of your life. But really, to get where you are, it must have taken a lot of focus and dedication. So when you were in Virginia Tech and you studied this sort of industry, did you see yourself doing this, or did this evolve because it's new?
I think the fundamentals I had seen myself doing, I'd always been interested in doing something related to startups, either working at one or starting one myself. The field of AI was sort of in its hibernation mode when I graduated. It wasn't until about 2012, 2013, where this new class of technology called deep learning came out. And there was this popular academic benchmark called ImageNet. And think of it like a 1,000-way multiple choice test. And what happened was the best computer vision algorithms would had beaten a human being in terms of looking at it and seeing how accurate they are. So if I hold up a picture and say, maybe there's like a barn and a horse in it, as a human, you can tell like what's in the foreground. Is it a picture of a horse with a barn in it, or a picture of a barn with a horse in it? And we'd ask questions like, what is a picture of? And in the ImageNet competition with deep learning, that made the best algorithms beat out humans in terms of accuracy. And it kind of changed the world that came next. So now we've got Roomba vacuums, we have self-driving cars, we have all these different things that all kind of trace the roots back to that technical innovation that happened 10-ish years ago now.
Right. I mean, those are big ideas. And I mean, Roomba is not a big idea. Roomba is a very simple idea, but it showed how a simple idea with that technology can be impactful. The electric driving car is a huge idea that is going to take, you know, another decade before it's even really widespread. How are you taking like the in between the Roomba, which is a self doing vacuum cleaner, and the electric car, which is self driving? Two kind of same premise, but obviously the impacts are extremely huge, and so is the risk to everyone else in life. But how did you kind of come into your space helping service based industries? I'm a service based guy. That's where my heart is. I've did fiber optic construction for many years for AT&T and Comcast and Facebook and all those companies. But I've always had an affinity for real service space. I always wanted to open a lawn care business. And my son at 18 years old, graduated school, gave me, literally sold his car the day after graduation from high school, gave me $10,000 and said, I want to start a landscaping business. I was like, oh, wow, here's my youth. Awesome. And he's 22. It's been 3 years and we're at $750,000 revenue, 7 employees. We'll hit $1 million next year. How can something like that, how do you say this is good for service-based industry? I mean, and it is. It sounds great. How do you say that's my lane?
Yeah, I mean, we started with a hypothesis, had an idea. And the idea was that, okay, computers are now better than people at identifying objects and images. Most people don't know that. And what are the industries that are going to be impacted by this? And what we found was we had a real opportunity to help in home services, because the more we learned about the space, the more we realized even best-in-class companies have a really hard time doing an estimate. I mean, you mentioned lawn care. If I don't show you what my lawn looks like and I say, hey, how much is it going to cost to maintain it? Like, it's sort of like saying, hey, let's go on a road trip. When are we getting there? And I'm not telling you where we're going, where we're starting from.
Right. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So what we did is we started, obviously, it's very complicated and time and cost intensive to make AI. So we initially didn't have any. So this is where I feel like the innovative step, that slight edge is key, is we broke the problem down and said, okay, if I want to build AI for moving, I would need to first make sure that the customer is comfortable using a digital process as opposed to having somebody come to the home. If I send you a link and say, hey, go through this, and nobody's willing to click it, it doesn't really matter how good the AI is. So
yeah, road is no good without any cars on it.
Exactly. So what we did is we found moving companies that were interested in trying it out. And fortunately, moving is a fairly fragmented space. I think there's 7,000 licensed movers in the US, and a lot of them are people with like two or three different trucks. So we just called some local companies up, got told no a bunch of times, but just say, hey, I don't need to make it work for everybody. I got to find one person. And what we did was we built out a really simple platform where the mover could send a link, someone could record videos, and the mover could watch the videos. And that tested two key things. Thing number one, is a consumer willing to do this? And thing number two is, can a trained human identify what's there? If a person's not able to do it on their end, then it's going to be tough for AI to. We've had cases where the customer scans like at night after dark and the video comes in all black. Like, AI is great, but it's not magic if it's not
common
there.
Sense can't common. Common sense ain't so common, right?
Exactly.
Light on it.
But I think that's where that's where I feel real innovation comes from, is it was probably, if you're watching us, like a year or two later from that initial idea where we actually had something that was meaningful, where there was real AI and there was actually helping people. We've had some case studies that show that these sales agents are able to do more business, expand their business, because they can survey more people in a day. More accurate. And then also having the actual images. So it's not just like a handshake understanding of, okay, your house is 6,000 pounds. You can actually see pictures of what's in there. It's just way too labor intensive to do that manually, right? To take a video and crop out all of your hundreds of items in your home.
Right.
But by breaking that big problem down and testing along the way the different gates that would basically make the business not viable if those don't work out, has been, I would say it saved us a lot of headache and likely saved the company from going off on this tangential mission that doesn't work out in the end.
Right. Yeah. So, and I bet you there's many times you questioned it or sat down. Now, how important was it to have a partner? I mean, if you know, a lot of people try to do everything on their own, solopreneurship. I'm one of them. I have a hard time finding the person, A, that I trust, B, that I enjoy being around, or C, that I think is going to pull their weight, because I think I'm like Tom Joyner, right? I'm the hardest working man in business, but you're not really. I mean, you need partnerships, and I've really pushed myself to do that. But how important was it for you in this area?
In my case, I think it was critical, but everybody's different, right? Every situation is different and every business is a bit different. So in my case, there's a lot. It's a complicated product, right? There's a lot of things that that we need to be able to detect. I mean, a self-driving car, you need to detect maybe what road, sidewalk, traffic lights. I don't know. Call it 50-ish items. People, exactly. But in moving, I mean, you could have like a bronze statue in your backyard. So like the algorithm's expectations are pretty high. So having a partner who knew that space really well on the algorithms and on the technology was really helpful. I think it just comes down to a function of what is the business you're operating in, and then just being honest about what your background is. And if there's like a glaringly obvious gap, co-founder is a good route. And if it's right. An area you know cold, then maybe it's not needed. So I don't have like a one size fits all answer, but I think I have a tendency, and I feel others probably do too, to over inflate my background and say, okay, well, I can do this, I can do that. But I think like taking an honest look, asking your friends, asking people you've worked with around like where you feel your strengths lie. I think you can do a lot of things if you're willing to put in a couple hours and test and like learn how it works. When we started, I did our first trade shows. I did our first marketing materials, designed our first business cards. I'm not a salesperson. I'm not a graphic designer. I mean, you do a little bit of research. You can do a good enough job. And then once you learn how it works, then you can kind of bring in a professional who does it better than you.
Perfect get in the way of good, right?
Exactly. But I think just having an understanding around like the area that you need to be like 10 out of 10 in right out of the gate. And if that's missing, then co-founder route is like a strong recommendation from my end.
Yeah, exactly. And it's worked out pretty well for you. So this isn't your first endeavor, right? You had the other business with the flashcards. Is that, did you help somebody to do that, or was that your own as well? When you learn how to scale, is that, because that's a big deal, how to scale.
I think I was very fortunate to have that opportunity. I started out as an intern at this company. It was founded by Virginia Tech alumni. So I by going there, I kind of met the right people, and it was fun. I had this problem that I was trying to solve. I was maybe 17, 18 years old. And at Virginia Tech, the way they do the course enrollment is the new semester is coming up and they kind of open it up for everybody to say, okay, like everyone needs chemistry 101, sign up for it. And then there's like a land grab and all the 11 a.m. and 12 p.m. classes go right away. And the 8 a.m. take some time to fill in. So I was really interested. This is kind of nerdy, but you're talking to an engineer. I wanted to pack my schedule. I wanted to like get to campus, do all my classes, and then ideally be done by like 11. I've always been a morning person, so I was fine taking the 8 a.m. one. So to do this, I actually wrote some code. And I wrote code to go look at these things and then basically give me all the links, because you had to like actually click the link yourself and sign up. So I would just make it really easy to give me the links that would pack my schedule so I can go 8 to 8:30, 8:30 to 9, 9:30 to 10, be done for the day. Wow. And after I did it, I thought it was really cool. I got what I wanted, and I was thinking like, what do I do with this? Like, I feel like it'd be helpful for some other people.
So you created this thing to get your name into this classes faster, almost like that fractional stock where when you save like a millisecond, you ended up making like 800% more return.
Yeah, I think the people who do that made a lot more money than I did doing this, but same idea in principle.
So, you know what? That was an aha moment. Like, you know, I made it rain. I got into this. This thing worked.
Right, exactly. And so I found a local startup that was building academic services for college kids. And I wasn't trying to like sell them anything. I just said, hey, I built this. I found it useful. A couple of my friends used it too. Like, I don't even think I ended with like an ask. I just like said that. And then the CTO reached out and one thing led to another, and ended up getting an internship and working there. And wow. And that's where this flashcard tool came to be. So that was a really like just fortunate timing, being new in my career, being at a company where the customer base were college students. So like as a college student, I feel like I understood the target market without doing a ton of research.
Right.
And just being able to build stuff.
The environment. I mean, the environment probably was priceless. You're it's like the entrepreneur mindset. So you're in a startup and somebody's got no skin in the game other than your time you're putting into it, because the lessons there must have been invaluable to when you apply it to your own startup.
Definitely. I think the tenacity that I experienced and just seeing people who would be like walk into a meeting with executives at another company not have a clear product that they're trying to sell, but having an intelligent conversation, agreeing, okay, we're going to build these things. If we were to partner, here's what we put together. And then actually having that happen in like weeks, not years later, was just really eye-opening. So yeah. I think like the expectations around what a person can do just kind of like blew my mind. Because as a college kid, right, you go, you take your classes, you do your projects. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting was all of the other interns in my group that went into the startup, they all had really interesting side projects. It was like a common thread. I don't know if the company did it on purpose or not, but on their resume, I mean, we're like teenagers, so we don't have like tons of years of work experience, but there were people that had like websites for their passion projects that had thousands of users. And there were people who had built like weird, like embedded system pranks where like when you open the door, a sensor goes off and some speaker. Oh, wow. And there's like all these like cool little things that kind of encourage the sort of person who just wants to learn. Yeah, right. Like
Val Kilmer movie with a real genius, I think it was called, mm-hmm. or they're at, I think MIT or something. And they were doing all these pranks with, you know, they're all engineers. They're engineer school.
Right.
It sounds like that.
But it's like, I don't know a lot of parallels between this and other industries, no. But if you know the phenomena of Rickrolling,
yes.
But I, in my early 20s, I found these ultrasonic sensors that'll measure distance, and I made a machine you could hide. It's powered off a 9-volt battery, and you could hide it. And when someone walks in the room, it would trip the sensor and start Rickrolling them. And if they walk away, it would stop. And if they walk back in, it would pick up where it left off. That's it's like the goofiest, silliest, like you could say it's useless. Harmless. Yeah, it was useless. But like the skills that I learned, you had to go hand solder, you had to build a circuit board.
For like, sure.
I don't know.
Useless. It was useful. That's the way your brain ticks. It's really finding out this is what interests me. It entertains me, educates me. And it's a way that you can now apply it later. I mean, it's great. You're brought up in a very healthy environment to mm-hmm. do that. It's very refreshing to hear these good things that come out of it. And that's in Blacksburg, right? Is that where your school
yep.
was?
Blacksburg, yeah. Virginia.
I had an office in both places, Charleston and Blacksburg, right? Floyd, which is not too far from Blacksburg.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So I know the area, and you don't have a lot more to do there than that anyway.
Yeah, it was a bit strange. Like I literally walked past a cow pasture between yes. my apartment and campus, and I'm learning all these high-tech things, and the irony was not lost on me.
No, exactly right. And it's pretty cool. So let's talk a little bit now about how the company's doing, who your real client is, what do you like to get, you know, accomplished by being on podcasts and sharing the story, other than being an inspiration to folks. But really, how can we help you today with getting your message? Who do you want to touch, and how do you want to help them?
I think the interesting part about what's going on right now is there's just so much progress happening in AI, and that's what led me to want to get out there a bit more. It's what led me to want to write this book, Grow Up Fast. But I think there's just so much innovation that's happening. There's so many bigger, better things that are coming down the pipeline. This innovation I talked about is almost 10 years old now, with computers being better than people at identifying things. There's a whole lot going on now. And I feel like so many businesses are just at the beginning of learning to adapt to that. And that's where being able to identify what is a good kind of problem that AI can solve, I feel like is something that I'd like to see a bit more of just out there in the world today. And that's kind of the main reason why I'm here. It's not really to be like a sales pitch or anything, but it's more just understanding what AI is doing. And I mean, if you're a mover and you're watching this, sure, yeah, feel free to reach out. But I think the real interesting part is, how do you incorporate AI into whatever project is coming next in your coursework, mm-hmm. if you're a student, in your business, if you're a professional? And it's going to infiltrate everything. And it's sort of got a lot of things up for grabs right now. Yeah. And I'm an optimist. I think it can be used as a force for good. And I feel like playing around with it, right? Like taking that time, most professionals maybe don't have time to build Rickroll machines in their free time to like learn how the underlying tech works. But I mean, there's a whole lot of tools and resources that are out there that are really just going to change the way that business gets done. It'll allow people to be a lot more productive. And I feel like it's going to make way more incredible things, just because people will have a lot of the grunt work that's taken out of doing a lot of business processes and then you'll be freed up to go do other interesting things. So
right. Hold up that book again, because I got you thank spotlighted you. Now.
It's called Grow Up Fast.
Grow Up Fast. Less
from an AI start.
An AI startup, which is really, so it can apply to a lot of businesses, and not only just if they want to put AI into business, but principles that you've learned and employed into Yumbo.
Exactly. Yeah. I think we did a lot of things right way, some things wrong way. And I was open and honest about all of it. So I think one interesting thing I've been finding lately is when you have these kinds of conversations with somebody, it can be kind of difficult to prepare. So I like to come to podcasts prepared, and I like to understand what things does the host find interesting. And I like to usually watch a few episodes prior before I go on, which was helpful. And I found that's helpful, but there's a whole lot of, some folks have like hundreds of episodes and you can't really watch all of them. But I found this cool workflow. I discovered this like last week, because it's like brand new. I don't know if this was possible like 2-3 months ago.
Yeah.
But I found this OpenAI based transcription tool where you can take past podcasts, you can transcribe it. Then you can go into ChatGPT and you can say, hey, can you summarize these transcriptions? And I'll still watch podcasts, because I don't want to like replace it entirely.
Yeah.
But you can ask it questions like, what is a common arc over the past year of everything this host has done? And you get like reasonable like results back. So it's like, in terms of productivity, it's probably not as good as if you actually sat down and listened to like hundreds of hours, but it's like good enough.
And ain't nobody got time for that, as they say.
But I mean, these kinds of things that would just be like ridiculous to expect somebody to do are possible now. Yeah.
That's really refreshing. That, I mean, you got a great mind for like always innovating and being efficient, but also making it better, because a lot of people would say it's too much, so I won't do it.
Exactly.
I'm just going to go wing it. And so it's refreshing to hear somebody that just thinks like, and I'm going to say outside the box, because really the box, everybody is knows what's in the box now. And and nobody's in the box anymore. Everyone does things like that. But to actually then say, well, let me do it and apply it to my life. Not that it can be done, but let's do it. You know, we need more examples of that, of people who are doing that and then showing the results from it.
Yeah. And I feel like this, just getting started is one of the biggest hurdles. Is it's
Don Shula,
as professionals, right? We get good at something, and then we get used to being good at it. And then you have to go back to square one and like be willing to be bad about something to be able to start off the ground. And
got two guys there. Don Shula says it's the start that stops most people. And Les Brown says, I think it's Les Brown, correct me if I'm wrong, but if it's worth doing good, it's worth doing bad to start.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? To start.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a little bit humbling. The first time it's awkward, but I mean, like the first trade show we're doing, I've like never done one before. I just Googled trade show and tried to piece together something. We ended up winning Best Booth Technology Award because I think the underlying AI was interesting.
Man.
But like, if I was trying to do it the right way and be a professional, I would have just freaked myself out and not even started. But what we did was, we had object detection technology, which is kind of complicated to understand. So we just trained it on people, and we had this big TV with a live camera, and we put it kind of at the end of the buffet line. So when people are coming to eat lunch, the camera would pick them up. It would draw a box around them. It's like, person, 98% accurate. And people would get confused and say, like, why is it 98? Like, I'm 100% human. Or my buddy was 99. Like, what's different about me? And it's just how the algorithms work. But we thought it'd be fun to just kind of expose it.
Yeah.
And it was like a perfect segue. We said, okay, well, this is probability. This is how the technology works. And oh, yeah, by the way, we do that with the pre-move survey. But sort of by accident, I just thought it was like a cool kind of geeky demo to do. Mm-hmm. But now we learned the value of like an important hook. Like when you go to a trade show now, we have a bit more budget than what we had before when we're just paying out of pocket. But like the idea that we had discovered on there is still true, and we still do that, even though there are folks that are marketing professionals that handle it now. But have something compelling that gets attention, give real value when you come out, and have the person walk away with something, even if they never buy your product, that is like, that they can think about, that they can use, that they can go apply somewhere.
Yeah. And tell somebody.
But being willing to be bad at it, like you mentioned, was like the key to starting all of it.
It is. It is. Well, I'll tell you, I know that I want to respect your time. I appreciate you being here. What on a parting, note, as we land the plane, so to speak, let me get your information up here again. But Zach Ratner, and the best place right now is LinkedIn. Probably get a hold of you, see what you got going on. And it's Zach Ratner. Then you got your Yembo. By the way, where did that name come from? I love origins, and Yembo is unique.
So it's been a fun one. So Yembo doesn't mean anything until we came along. So I was a teenager when I came up with the name. I just held on to the names. At some point, I knew I wanted to do a startup. So I wanted a 5-letter name, and I was looking at other tech companies. So there was Google, Facebook, Twitter. So two syllables seemed like it was cool. And I basically wrote down all the rules that I wanted. And then I wrote code, and I wanted to write code that would make this word. I didn't want it to be an actual English word, because I wanted to be able to like dominate Google. So when you search it, it comes up.
Right.
I actually have the code. If you're interested in running it, is in the book. I gave it away for free in there. But we wanted to come in and make a phrase where someone can come in and say, oh, just Yembo it, and have that be meaningful.
Like it. I do. Yeah, I like it a lot. So as we leave here, other than where we can find you, what have you got? And what's next for you? What have you got on the horizon? You got this book. You're out there pushing the book. What's your next kind of challenge, you think?
So lots of stuff going on. I think in terms of the book, I've been really encouraged at the responses I've gotten so far. Folks who have gotten it, been encouraged, tried something out, asked my feedback on, okay, I'm trying to do AI with X. What do you think? So that's been really exciting, just to kind of see how many vibrant ecosystem out there, all the different ideas that people are having. And it's great to see people trying, getting started, and going from zero, getting it off the ground and building things. At our company, we are launching a few new products in new markets. So more recently, we've been focusing on property insurance as well. Very similar workflow, but kind of new home service space. And it's just a really exciting time to be alive and in the tech industry. So I would just encourage everyone to take some time. It can just be like a few minutes, doesn't have to be super in depth. Just check out what's going on in AI right now. There's a whole bunch of new tools that didn't exist in the last few months.
Yeah.
And a lot of great ideas start with just kind of dabbling on the weekends, playing around with things and seeing where it goes.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you being on, my friend.
All right, thank you so much, Jeremy.
We'll be talking again in the future, because you got a lot of stuff going on. Stick around for 1 second. Let me just say goodbye to all my viewers here and subscribers. I appreciate everything you all do for me. You support me. You keep me up in the morning. I don't have motivation. I have drive. And it's because coming here and spending time with people like Zach and learning about really how the innovation can really give you the slight edge advantage. It's just knowing where to put your focus and how to put it in there. That's almost blind faith, that knowing that doing all these little things are going to pay off very, very big. You're 3 feet from gold. You're almost there. Keep digging. And thank you for watching Slight Edge Advantage. I'm Jeremy Torsk. We'll see you again.